This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program, presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max, only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Well, well, well. Good morning. Welcome inside another edition of GTC. Adam Scully here in studio. Bob and Mark will be by a little later in the show. A busy one today. We'll continue to look back at the Masters, Scottie Scheffler getting it done, a second green jacket in the last 3 years. We'll spend a lot of time previewing this week's Chevron Championship, the first LPGA major of the year. Nelly Korda looking for her fifth straight victory. That is not a typo. Five straight victories. She's looking for that. Canadian Brooke Henderson, of course, in the field too. We'll also chat with President's Cup Executive Director Ryan Hart with the President's Cup coming up in September. But first, now joining us on the line, good friend of the show, Kristen Murphy. Murph, what's going on this morning? Maybe. Oh, do we have Murph? Looks like the phone is potentially dropped. That's okay. We'll get Murph back on the line here shortly, but going to be a busy one today too. RBC Heritage on the PGA Tour, another signature event. So back-to-back big events on the men's side in the world of golf, and we'll make our PGA Tour picks for this week. And you wonder if any of us are going to pick Scottie Scheffler. You know, he's won three of his last four starts and is back in the field this week. I believe we have Murph on the line now. Murph, what's going on?
I'm here. Hello. I'm ready to go.
Okay, she's back. Hello. Great. Hi. The phone line's back working. It's always great when the phones work. Okay, let's, before we get in any conversation, Murph, because a lot going on right now in the world of golf, let's start things off, as we always do, with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
So, Murph, I said off the top, Nelly Korda looking for her fifth consecutive victory. And no, that's not a mistake. I didn't misspeak. She's looking for five alive. I could say it 28 times, and it's still amazing. Five straight victories. In your mind, how incredible is this run?
It's amazing. It's one of the best sports stories so far this season, and there's still a lot of golf left to go. She's looking to make more history to become the first American to win five straight on the LPGA Tour since Nancy Lopez in 1978. That's 46 years ago. So this is significant, and we've talked so much this season about Scottie Scheffler's streak and what he's been doing really for the last couple of years. Well, Nelly is right in the middle of it now, and to win five straight would be so incredible. We've seen a lot of headlines dominated this year by, you know, Caitlin Clark and her popularity, her success following her college career and what she's done for women's basketball already, and then drafting number one this week in the WNBA draft. So we've seen the popularity of women's sports significantly on the uprise, but we haven't necessarily seen that translated to the women's game. I think obviously the more Nelly wins, the more eyes are going to be on the sport, but that's solely not up to her. We know there's so many good stories aside from Nelly on the LPGA Tour. And I just, as Nelly said in her press conference, I just really hope that the women get the same stage as the men do in the golf world, because what she's doing is so incredible and really everyone should be paying attention.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you look at the overall state of the game right now, and you know, we watched every second, every shot of the Masters, but not everyone did. Ratings were down 20% from last year. I think people overall are quite frankly just annoyed with the game of golf, given the drama, mm-hmm. given the greed that is going on. But in your mind, how much does golf need a story like this with Nelly Korda, which is just an unbelievable, great, feel-good story?
It's such a great story. And with Nelly specifically, she comes from an insanely athletic family. Her dad, Peter, won the Australian Open in tennis. Her brother, Sebastian, is a professional tennis player. Her sister, Jessica, is a professional golfer like Nelly. So her story is incredible. She also hasn't been free of adversity. You know, she had to step away from the game for a short period in 2022 dealing with a blood clot. And that's something that would be scary for anyone, especially a professional athlete. I'm sure she thought, how is this going to affect my career? And now she's playing the best golf she ever has. She has mentioned that she is the happiest and having the most fun on the golf course that she ever has in her career. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those two things are happening simultaneously. Because if you're having fun out there, you're going to have success. The confidence goes up and the story just snowballs. So I think it's so important to dive deeper and not just look at a story like Nelly's, you know, with the wins are one thing, but really diving deeper and seeing where she comes from, you know, what is her athletic background, her family, because that to me is what gets people engaged. And if there's no stage to tell those stories, then people, I don't think, form the same emotional attachment. And then when you also have the women's game sometimes being shown on a tape delay, you're not watching something live. I think that also creates a disconnect. So I think on multiple levels, the way we cover the women's game needs to improve. And someone like Nelly just allows that to be a little bit easier because of her win streak.
We're in conversation here with Kristen Murphy talking about the unbelievable, great success story right now from Nelly Korda. And when you look at American golf on the LPGA Tour, you know, we've got Lexi Thompson, but Lexi Thompson in terms of all-time wins for active players, but she's been pretty MIA the last number of years, really, you could say. And when you look at American golf as a whole, how badly do you think American golf just in general needs a superstar like this, a Nelly Korda, to not only promote the game in the States, but to succeed at the highest level too?
I think it's incredibly important, but I also have to ask, we've seen, okay, she comes in 4 wins in a row. She's already a major champion. She's an Olympic gold medalist. She's been a star at the Solheim Cup. I kind of ask, like, what else does someone need to do? Like, to me, she's already a superstar. She's already there. Maybe the game needs more superstars, but it's kind of incredible that she hasn't already garnered as much attention as she deserves.
Yeah, an Olympic gold medal too. And, you know, maybe people think of that Olympic gold medal, you know, Xander Schauffele won on the men's side. We were both watching back in COVID, the 2020 Olympics turned to 2021. Wasn't really anyone there. It was in the middle of the night, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But hey, this is just a great story for Nelly Korda looking to win her 5th straight. And when we look at major championship season on the women's side, we immediately in Canada look to Brooke Henderson. Brooke Henderson has 4 top 10s and 7 starts this season. That's already more top 10s than she had in all of 2023. So Brooke Henderson playing some good golf. How do you like Brooke's chances heading into the season's first major?
Yeah, you know, obviously Brooke's already playing better this season than she did last year, but I think this week is really the big test where we get to see where Brooke's game's at. We know that she loves major championships. She already has 2 under her belt. Nelly just has the 1, but Nelly's done great in every other women's major. She has a top 10. So with Brooke, I mean, she's our superstar, right? We love talking about her. We love her story. And really, we love her golf game. She's won already 13 times on the LPGA Tour, and she has those majors already under her belt. Given that she was coming off an uncharacteristic slower season by her standards, still a great season, but we know the expectations are so high for the Smiths Falls native. I think that this week is really going to tell us a lot with where her game's at. I expect, based on how she's come into the season, that she's going to be right there in contention down the stretch. And how great would it be if it was head-to-head with Nelly Korda?
Oh, man, that would just be incredible. Storylines, theater, the works. That would be so much fun. So much fun to watch. Now, speaking of storylines in the game of golf, Twitter, X, whatever the kids are calling it these days, on Monday was briefly set ablaze when a London financial newspaper decided to post something about their thoughts on, allegedly, Rory McIlroy being reportedly close to signing a deal worth up to $850 million to join LIV Golf. And I know group chats were going crazy. People were asking, is this really possible? We know Rory's changed his stance a little bit in terms of the leadership of the PGA Tour, not spending as much time on the board, et cetera, et cetera. But Rory did squash those rumors yesterday. Murph, before I get your opinion on this, let's hear Rory McIlroy on the rumors that are clearly false.
I honestly don't know how these things get started. I've never been offered a number from LIV. And I've never contemplated going to LIV. I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years that I don't think it's something for me. Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there. I think one of the things that I've realized over the past 2 years is, you know, people can make their own decisions for, you know, whatever they think is best for themselves. And, you know, who are we to judge them for that? But personally for me, you know, my future is here on the PGA Tour, and it's never been any different. It's never even been a conversation for us. And it's one of those things. It's unfortunate that we have to deal with it, and, you know, this is the state that our game's in. And I'm obviously here today, and I'm playing this PGA Tour event next week, and I will play the PGA Tour for the rest of my career.
Well, couldn't have made it any clearer there. Hey, Murph, what did you think about what Rory had to say?
No, he couldn't have made it any clearer. And as you've mentioned, his stance about LIV, at least his willingness to speak out as openly against it, has softened in the last while. However, you know, guys have said this before and then left. And John Rahm comes to mind the most when it comes to that. So I think the quick reaction of people seeing that headline, I mean, I was guilty of it too, Adam. I sent you a screenshot and I texted you right away. And I'm like, tell me this isn't true. So I think it's natural for people to not really have complete faith in anyone anymore because of who we've seen go over to LIV. And there's a lot of public distrust after specifically Rahm's move, because he was the most outspoken about his loyalty to the PGA Tour, how much he values history of the game and all of that. So I think people are just a little more weary after Rahm's move. But I do believe that Rory has never entertained anything from LIV. I do find it interesting that he's never been offered a number, because you would think that they would go after him. I don't know. But he also said he's not sure how these things get started. And hear me out. This is just a conspiracy theory. Let me just put my tinfoil hat on for a second here. But could Rory's camp have planted this story to maybe detract from the fact that he finished 22nd at the Masters last week? I don't know.
Oh, we've heard some interesting Rory takes. Mark on Monday said Rory should take a year off of the Masters. This is an interesting one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm half kidding, but I do just find it, honestly, for Rory, the fact that he was answering questions about this and he could say, you know, this is completely false. He wasn't getting as much attention on the fact that he once again came up short for the career Grand Slam.
Interesting. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that under advisement. We'll put
Thank
it that
you.
Way.
Appreciate that.
But you know, good for Rory McIlroy, though. You know, who knows if it was him or the agent or whoever said we need to get on top of this. Social media is going nuts. Let's do an interview. Todd Lewis is right there. Let's put a mic in his face and bada boom, bada bing. So those are storylines that are going on right now. But Murph, we haven't talked to you since a green jacket was handed out on Sunday, and you watched pretty much every second of every shot of every player throughout the week. Just how impressed were you by Scottie Scheffler down the stretch on Sunday in the final round?
In short, incredibly impressed. It's hard to say more about the now two-time Masters champ that hasn't already been said. It's so incredible what he's doing, what he's already done. My big takeaway from the Masters when it comes to Scottie Scheffler is that the best player right now, world number one, and by far the best player on the PGA Tour the last 2-3 years, really, is the guy that won the Masters. And I think that is a storyline that everyone should root for. You're not getting someone randomly having a good week. We've seen a lot of that already on the PGA Tour this season with some of the more random, lesser-known winners. So to see a Scottie Scheffler win the Masters was great. I felt similarly last year when Rahm got it done. He was playing great golf, so a very deserving champion. Also, a player hasn't come into Augusta as the favorite and got the job done since Tiger did it back in 2005. So even though it was sort of expected, it was still rare what Scheffler pulled off. And as far as what's next for the Texan, he's in the field this week, unless, of course, Meredith and the baby have other plans. You never know. But he's also about to go through a major life change, and we don't really know the impact of that, what that will be on his game. But we do know that Scotty has said time and time again that that's the most important thing, the most significant event happening in his life, and that includes having just won the Masters for a second time in 3 years. I think he's a very interesting guy, even though he's sort of a boring, interesting guy, if that makes sense. He's kind of robotic, and he's just lights out right now, and nobody else comes close.
Yeah, he was definitely more robotic in victory on the 72nd hole, and he even said afterwards, you know, he was embarrassed for putting the 72nd hole when he won 2 years ago. So this time he didn't even take his hat off. He just wanted to get the job done. And, you know, we spent at this time last week, we were in studio together discussing previewing the Masters. And Scottie Scheffler was far and away the favorite to win the tournament. He wins by 4 shots, so the predictions by everyone came true. With that being said, it's hard to compare Scottie Scheffler to Tiger Woods in his prime, but the stretch he's on right now, is this stretch reminiscent to Tiger in his prime? What do you think?
Oh, sure. Yes, I definitely think it's reminiscent. And when you have, you know, it's hard because we haven't seen like the same longevity yet. But yes, in this window, his dominance is reminiscent. I would absolutely agree with that of Tiger Woods. And, you know, it's great to see someone just really grabbing the sport by the horns. And, you know, excuse the pun, the sort of nice Texas undertones there was not intentional. But I think even though in the golf world, I think we crave to see some variety when it comes to the winners, especially in these major championships. Like, I don't know about you, but I wanted to see Brooks contending and maybe a guy like Hovland. Like, I wanted to see, I wasn't sure how it was all going to shake out, but I don't think you can underappreciate or overappreciate what Scheffler is doing. And I mean, this could all change in a heartbeat. You just never know. So I think that we should really be appreciating what he's doing more. If somehow I feel like he almost doesn't get enough attention for just how much he's dominating. And I think part of that is because of his demeanor and how he carries himself. He just naturally doesn't seek the kind of attention that a guy, let's say Brooks Koepka, does. And so it's kind of a different vibe that we get from Scheffler, but what he's doing on the course, you just can't argue with it. And it certainly harkens back to Tiger in his prime.
Now, speaking of variety, we look at the player who came runner-up, and that's Ludvig Åberg. This time last year on this day, we probably hadn't heard of who Ludvig Åberg was.
Yeah.
Six, seven months ago, we thought his name was Ludvig Åberg or Ludvig Åberg. Now he's a household name, Ludvig Åberg, runner-up, finish. When you look at this guy, you look at his game, you look at how simple the move is, you look at his attitude, mm-hmm. How do you like his chances heading into the final three majors of the season?
Oh, I love his chances, and I really, really love him as a player. I had so much fun watching him this week. He just has such a cool, calm demeanor. He was smiling down the stretch at the Masters in contention, you know, and even after missing some shots and what have you. And of course, when that fan knocked his snack out of his hands, he handled that like a champ. But he's just got that like young, fun, vibrant attitude with the game to match. And I just loved watching him. I can't wait to see what he does. I expect him to contend in your first major championship and to do it at Augusta. It's incredible. And then just one stat that I really appreciated from the stat guru himself, Justin Ray, the young Swede did not make one official three putt in his Masters debut, and he was the first player in 6 years to go 72 holes at Augusta with no official three putt. That's insane on those greens.
Yeah, that's crazy. This guy, the future is bright. His current life is bright right now. And I can't wait to watch this guy. We got to spend a little bit of time with him early in the year. And you can tell this guy just has a really steady head on his shoulders. Okay, Murph, two more before we let you go. Tiger. You watch Tiger throughout the week. He makes the cut, loses steam on the weekend, 82-77. What did you see from Tiger?
I think I saw exactly what I expected from Tiger. I expected him to be in the mix the first two rounds, I expected him to make the cut. I thought he was going to be a little bit closer to the cut line than he ended up being. But he cleared it by a few strokes, which was great to see. A great moment to continue his cut streak and set the new record at 24 consecutive cuts at Augusta. And then essentially I saw what I expected to see on the downside when it comes to how much golf he had to play, you know, in order on the Saturday in tough conditions. And he handled it so well. But then you almost saw the hangover from that on Friday to make the cut. And then on Saturday, he comes out and right away is kind of leaking oil. And then I find it kind of hard to watch because I'm going, oh man, he's just going to keep making bogeys and doubles. And then it's the limping comes into play. And I think it's totally understandable that his body, eventually things, you know, they catch up to him. You can only sustain it given how much competitive golf he's played or hasn't played in his case, that this is kind of bound to happen. But I wonder if this is just what we can expect to see for every major he tees it up in now going forward, because he seems to look pretty good and be confident at the start of the week. And then by the end of the week, he's really kind of a different person. And I take my hat off to him. The fact that he still has the level of compete and he wants to do it, he's willing to put his body through what he has to go through to make himself even ready to walk the course for 72 holes. It's incredible. It's remarkable, but it does seem to be trending in a direction where I'm not sure every Tiger Woods fan is ready to face just yet.
And as we wrap here and look ahead, you mentioned looking forward and getting the body ready. When we had you on the show about 6 weeks ago, you discussed 30 yards longer for your own personal game. How are the personal gains going? Have you hit golf balls outside yet?
I have not hit golf balls outside yet. No, I was at a simulator for a little bit yesterday.
Oh.
But then, yeah, like today, it's just we haven't really had great weather or anything even remotely consistent. Lots of rain. Today it's cold and rainy. And I don't know. I'm not one to grind out there in 6 degrees in the rain, Adam. I got to be honest with you. I'm a bit of a fair weather practicer anyway.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And people wear layers, but I don't know. I'd rather just play in 20 degrees and sunny. But that's my point. That's my case anyway. Okay, well, hey, Murph, it's been a fun one this morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Love the recap and love your perspective on Nelly Korda, too. Looking forward to see her in action this week. Thanks for your time this morning.
Take care, Adam. Thanks.
That's Kristen Murphy. Great analysis there. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, Bob is going to join me for the rest of the show. Bob was just in a little press conference. What were they talking about at said press conference? We'll discuss that and much more next.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully here in studio now joining me for the rest of the show, Mr. Bob Weeks, who's made his way back from Augusta National. Bob, what is happening, my man?
Well, lots happening even after Augusta National. So I was just on a quick press conference with Jim Furyk, the American captain for the upcoming President's Cup. He was just giving everybody an update. And I asked him two quick questions. One was, is Tiger Woods going to be making the trip north in some capacity? And he very coyly did not answer that one. So I don't have an answer for you yet. But I know they're going to start announcing their captain's assistants, both sides, both Mike Weir and Jim Furyk, in probably the next couple of weeks or so.
One of those where I could see Jim Furyk saying, oh, my Wi-Fi cracked out there. You know, one of those, or I couldn't hear you. Sorry, Bob. Yeah. But I'm so looking forward to the President's Cup. We're having Ryan Hart on in about 35 minutes time. He'll join us here on GTC. As for the international team, I mean, I don't want to speculate here at all, Bob, but, you know, you look back to 2013, our own Graham Dillette played well for the international side. Maybe could that be a possibility for Mr. Weir? Maybe.
Well, maybe. I think, you know, Graham is going to be captaining the Junior Ryder Cup. There's a competition that they hold on the Saturday, Sunday prior to, where they take junior golfers from both sides, from both teams. And I think Charlie Hoffman is going to be the U.S. captain. So he may have his duties full with that. He's also going to be, of course, working for us. So I don't know if how he can captain and work for us at the same time. But I have a little sneak preview. I'm not allowed to say but who the captains are. But I think it's going to be very interesting when they are announced.
Okay,
that's all
Matt,
I will say.
That is what we call a professional tease. And I know those listening live, those who listen on the podcast, if they can't catch us live, they're just on the edge of their seats. They're squinting with their ears even, trying to think what's going on with this. That's something that I made up. Anyway, when we come back here on GTC, there's so many storylines going on in the world of golf right now, from Nelly Korda looking to win her fifth straight LPGA tournament. How about Rory McIlroy clearing the air from those interesting rumors to you having 12 egg salad sandwiches? So much to discuss for the next 90 minutes right here, coming up, Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Scully and Weeks here. Throughout the next 90 minutes, we're going to preview this week in the world of golf, Chevron Championship, where it's the LPGA's first major of the season, the RBC Heritage. Yet another signature event on the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler looking to continue his brilliance. But let's start with the Chevron Championship, and you can catch Bob and I a little later today on SportsCenter, on TSN's YouTube channel, doing a full breakdown of Nelly Korda looking to win five straight. And Bob, when I say that, a player playing professional golf trying to win five straight tournaments, that's even hard to say out loud how impressive that is. How incredible is this accomplishment so far to win four straight in your mind?
I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I will say that there's a couple of pluses and minuses when you're putting this into a perspective. One is that these tournaments had gaps in between them, so there was time to rest, and there were some breaks on there, which plays to her advantage. On the other side of the coin, however, is the fact that every tournament that an LPGA player plays is basically almost always filled with the top players in the world, unlike a PGA Tour event. Scottie Scheffler came second in Texas or something, you know, it was a bit of a weaker field. Not to take anything away, because winning is hard and every player on the PGA Tour is good, but, you know, it's more like she's been playing a major every single week. Now she's got a real major coming up, obviously, this week, and if she can put that to her. I read a really good article that talked about how Nancy Lopez offered her some advice. She sort of said, you've got to love it. You've got to embrace it. You don't shy away from it. Don't make it onerous on you. Don't feel the pressure on top of you to try and do something. Just go out and have fun, which is not necessarily in Nelly's kind of natural instincts. She's sort of a person who is a bit quieter and is a bit more of a internal person. Doesn't, you know, sort of like Scottie Scheffler in a lot of ways, actually. So I think she's kind of getting that. I saw the press conference with her yesterday, and she was talking about how she's going to try and have fun and enjoy herself. So I think it's a great story and probably deserves a little more attention than it's getting. We're going to give it more attention, Adam, you and I.
That we are. We are going to give it a lot of attention. And something that she also spoke about was just how tired she was, how she would wake up and basically want to go back to sleep, but couldn't go back to sleep because she was revved up just about the busy stretch she has been on. But now she's back playing this week. You mentioned her press conference yesterday. Let's hear a little snippet from Nelly Korda's press conference on Tuesday.
Never any burden when it comes to this. I just hope I show people that, you know, how much I enjoy being out here week in, week out, competing against all the girls, practicing, and hopefully, you know, that drives more attention to us. Obviously, you know, with the run I've been on, maybe there are more eyes on me, but I always am very grateful for it, because I know how fast something can be taken away from you. So, you know, I hope that people see who I am, my true self, and that inspires them too. Yeah, I mean, in 2021, I went on a run, and then in 2022 and 2023, golf really humbled me. So I think that it's their sports. There's ups and downs. I mean, every athlete goes through the roller coaster, but that's what makes this sport so great. You mature, you grow so much, and you learn more about yourself. So you never take these weeks for granted. You always, you know, try to appreciate and become very grateful for them. And it makes just all the hard work so worth it. But I think I've learned so much about myself even through the losses.
Really interesting remarks there. And when you look at the top players in the world, number one, you have Nelly Korda, number one on the men's side, you have Scottie Scheffler. Do you see any similarities between these two, Bob?
Yeah, they both win a lot. that's the basic one. But, I mean, that aside, I do see, and you hear when they talk, there's a little bit of a bit of an observation of where they are, what they've done, and where they've come from. And I think there's sort of a sense of gratitude that they have with the moment they're in. I don't think they're sort of projecting, oh, yeah, I'm going to win five more this year or do this. And I don't think they're shying away from the challenge either. I think when you hear both of them talk, neither of them is kind of a boisterous, I don't know, kind of an outspoken person. Like, you get louder people, and not to take away from them, it's just the personality that they have. I think they're both very introspective and very pleased with where their games are, obviously, but also sort of have a lot of gratitude for what they've been able to achieve so far.
I'm so looking forward to watching Nelly Korda play this week, looking to become the third player in LPGA history to win five straight tournaments. Nancy Lopez in 1978, Annika Sorenstam 2004-05. That would be some elite company to join. Now, speaking of elite, Brooke Henderson, when you think of a major championship, our eyes immediately turn our attention to Brooke Henderson playing this week. Already four top 10, seven starts this season, more top 10s than she had all of 2023, playing some good golf heading into this week. What do you think we should expect from Brooke Henderson this week, Bob?
I think she's very close to playing like brilliant golf. Her game, as you pointed out, she's got the top 10s this year. She's sort of back into her form. You can go through the stats and look at where she is. She's doing great in greens in regulation. She likes to measure where she is with her game with the scoring average stat. She always likes to be under 70. She wasn't there last year. So far this year, she has 69.93. So that puts her in a spot where she's comfortable. I think there's a little bit more she can tidy up, and it may depend on weather. It may depend on, you know, if I look back at the stats and see fairways and regulation, it's down a little bit compared to where she normally is. But I think you have to also look at where the courses they were playing. They played over in Asia, where it's a little different kind of golf. She's played in some nasty weather last time around, where they were playing at the match play. She didn't quite qualify for the match play portion, lost in a playoff. But I do think she's playing better than last year, and I think she can still get better. So maybe we'll see her break out. She's a little bit like... like Tiger in a sense, where I think now, and having talked to her last year about this, she's sort of focusing more on the major championships. Those are going to be the weeks of the year when she's going to try and peak. She's got five. She's got six, actually, because she's got the CPKC Women's Open as well, and then five LPGA majors. So I expect good things from her this week.
And you could almost say seven this year with the Olympics as well, right? I mean, there's a lot
of
weeks
that's right.
You're trying to peak for. But, you know, Brooke Henderson, like I mentioned, four top 10s, looking for her third career major this week. Now, some other news that we discussed on SportsCenter yesterday, and I believe it aired throughout the night too, was Rory McIlroy. And some interesting rumors were put out by a London financial newspaper on Monday, which set social media very briefly ablaze with, they had reported that Rory McIlroy close to signing this ludicrous contract with Liv. And Rory squashed those rumors in a big way. We heard Rory a little earlier in the show saying he'll play the PGA Tour for the rest of his career. What does that say about Rory to get ahead of this rumor and squash things? Because he could have waited until his press conference. You would think he's speaking today, but instead he got ahead of it and did it on the range on Tuesday.
I think there was a couple of reasons for that. I think it was smart because you snuff it out and you don't have so many people asking you or cornering you or talking about you in any way, shape, or form. So I think that's good. I think it was a good job by Todd Lewis and Golf Channel to kind of get that interview out as well. That's news for them. That's a good way to break a story. And I think the bigger part is you don't want to give any life, any air, extra air to live. And I thought it was, you know, I had a couple of people ask me, a couple of people who are in significant positions say, do you think this is real? And first of all, I looked at the source and it was nothing against whatever it is, but you've never heard them ever talk about golf in any way, shape or form. Last week, you had the biggest gathering of the golf media of the year in one place. And you're telling me that some newspaper that we haven't heard of from London breaks the story. It seems a little odd to me. And I think Rory absolutely loathes Greg Norman so much that he just did not want to give him the glory of having an extra day of thinking that maybe Rory was going over there. And, you know, there's a weird story about Greg Norman. You know, we all know he was at the golf course, and he was kind of apparently like hanging on the ropes where Rory was and trying to make eye contact with Rory, and Rory wouldn't entertain it. He walked right past him a couple times. It was kind of a weird story. Like, I mean, everything Greg Norman does is weird, I think, but that was a weird one.
Yeah, we could go a month if we had a month to talk about Greg Norman. And just he's a bit of a different cat. And Rory has even said in the past, too, and I'm sure a lot of professionals, whether they're golfers or athletes, they just have really good peripheral vision. And they can tell, you know, because Rory's so used to people looking at him, right? Like, that's part of his life, to watch every move that he does, whether he's picking his nose on the putting green or on the range. People just look at him nonstop. So good for Rory McIlroy getting ahead here. And we know Rory McIlroy staying on the PGA Tour, which is good news for a number of reasons, Bob, but RBC Canadian Open, which we found out about a media day coming up in a little bit, Rory McIlroy will still be playing in the RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah, that was another reason I think that we should have probably realized that he wasn't going to pull a Dustin Johnson and kind of, you know, veer off right in the a week before or something like that. I think Rory's a very loyal guy. I think Rory is a very smart guy. He said so many times, you know, in the past, he said, I've got enough money. I've got a house where I have rooms where I don't even go in. I mean, he talks about it from that stuff. He's just a guy who has a great perspective on life. He has a great perspective on who he is and what people expect of him. And I think he's probably one of the most honest interviews we have. He's just a guy who kind of will tell you what he's really feeling and not kind of dodge around or try to miss an issue. He's pretty forthright, and I like that about him.
And Rory's interviews are the exact opposite of interviews you see or hear from a lot of other sports, where there's a lot of cliches, a lot of pucks in deep, a lot of good things happen. You know, Rory McIlroy, not one to use any cliches. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, I want to hear Bob's perspective on the Masters. We heard about it a little bit on GTC TV, but let's get Bob's take on Scottie Scheffler getting it done for the second time in 3 years at Augusta National. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
We will have much more on golf in Myrtle Beach coming up Monday on radio. Okay, well, it's that time of year. Well, 20 weeks of TaylorMade. It is back. Week 2 underway. Check out our social media channels for how you can win. Just click the link in our Instagram, Twitter, or X bio, and your chance to win. Bob, this week we are giving away the QI10 Designer Series driver. That's what we're giving away. Whoa. This week. Bob, have you had a chance to hit your QI10 yet, or is it still in the wrapper?
It's still in the box. It's coming out today, as a matter of fact. I've hit the one when I got fit for it, and it was great. But my clubs are in the box, and they are coming out today. I've just been traveling and running around a little bit, so I haven't had the chance. But, boy, I'm just anxious to get out there and hit it on the range this week, so we'll see. But it's from my experience at the fitting, it is something else. And you have an experience as well with yours. You launch yours a little farther and a little higher and a little faster than mine, but they both seem to go pretty well.
Yeah, and we're doing a little fun event tomorrow, which you'll see on social media maybe tomorrow or at some point afterwards. We'll leave it at that. It'll be us and some other people from TSN there. I'm really looking forward to that. So when you say you're taking it out of the box, does that mean you're actually swinging it, or are you just going to look at your clubs today?
Oh no, I like to take them out, and I like to put them on profile and sort of just. Maybe I might even do like the Ted Scott thing and take it to bed. We'll see. I'm not sure yet, but I could do that. But yeah, I gotta do the old. I do an annual out with the old, in with the new kind of thing. So we'll have that. I usually tape that, so we'll probably put that up on social as well.
Okay, stay tuned to at Bob Weeks TSN on X, on Instagram, on TikTok, the works to see Bob making the gear change. Now, speaking of TaylorMade QI10. Nelly Korda using that. Scottie Scheffler also using the QI10 driver. And Scottie Scheffler won the Masters for the second time in 3 years. And Bob, we spent, you know, all the weeks leading up to the Masters discussing how Scottie Scheffler was far and away the favorite to win. He wins by 4 shots, so the predictions were true. So now that he's done that, you've covered this game a long time. You covered Tiger in his prime. Is this stretch that Scottie Scheffler is on right now similar, reminiscent to Tiger in his prime?
It is. It doesn't seem like it's long enough yet to sort of bring it in, even though he's won four and finished second and one in his last 5 starts. I kind of want to see what he does the rest of the year, the rest of the majors. Although you go back and look at where he finished last year in some of the majors, and, you know, he had a second and a third and a tenth, and I mean, it's just mind-boggling that we're probably not giving him quite as much wow factor as maybe he deserves. And then you look at some of the stats that are coming out. You know, I've had that one stat last week or 2 weeks ago where he was 28, first in 28 different statistical categories. I think he's down a little bit because I think some of the things move around pretty quickly. But the other thing was how much it would take for somebody to catch him. On the official world golf rankings, I think Rory would have to win like the next 2 majors and another tournament before he could get close to catching Scotty. So we're starting to get some of those jaw-dropping numbers that you got with Tiger. I think right now, you know, he's probably a little bit more of a comparison to someone like a Dustin Johnson who went on that run where he won, I think, 5 or 6 times in a year. Vijay Singh. I mean, there's some players who accomplished a lot over a shorter period of time than Tiger. We just don't have enough runway yet to figure out where Scottie Scheffler is going to be. But boy, it is amazing to watch, and it is amazing to watch his opposition, his opponents, try and catch up to him. And I think that's what you saw on Sunday at the Masters. You know, guys realized they were going to have to play really well to try and beat him. And he birdies 8, 9, and 10, and then you see some of the guys hitting it in with two. You know, Oberg and Morikawa hitting it in the water on 11. And it just reminded me of the old Ben Hogan saying, where he says, if you ever see me on the green in 2 and 11 at Augusta, he says, you'll know I missed my shot. So, you know, I mean, you can see what he's doing to the rest of the field. And that is very similar to what Tiger did. I can remember talking to, it might have been Davis Love, who said one time, you know, you'd go to a tournament, Tiger would have the early tee time. You'd come in the afternoon just for your tee time, and you'd look up at the leaderboard, and Tiger shoots 10 under, and you haven't even teed off yet, and you're 10 behind. You know, that's the kind of feeling you get when you see Scottie Scheffler play golf these days.
And we have a Scottie Scheffler sighting. He has arrived at the RBC Heritage playing a practice round, maybe a pro-am, was kind of hard to tell, with Justin Thomas. There's a video on social right now, I'm sure, Scheffler speaking with the media a little later today. And so Scheffler gets it done at the Masters. But some of those notables faltering down the stretch, that was similar to Tiger in 2019 when 4 players put it in the water on 12, and this time was a little different. Morikawa, 2 double bogeys and 3 holes, Ludvig Åberg, water on 11, Max Homa, the bad break on 12, hitting it long, unplayable, etc., etc. But when you look at a guy, excuse me, like Ludvig Åberg, who this time last year, no one really knew who he was. You know, 7 months ago, we didn't really know how to pronounce his last name properly. And now he's a household name. What do you think of his chances here after this great performance at the Masters to perform well in the majors the rest of the year?
I mean, that was spectacular. What he did, that's his first major. His first major and he comes very close to getting a green jacket. So I like his demeanor. He's a little calm. He doesn't seem to get too wound up with anything. And, you know, like you said, this time last year he was carrying his bag playing in a college tournament. And now he's, you know, a millionaire playing in the fighting for a green jacket. And I think his miss on 11 where he dunked it in the water probably shows a little bit of what you have to learn about Augusta National. And there were a couple of other spots, but generally he played really, really well. And I think the guy who got the hardest break on that back nine was Max Homa, whose tee shot on 12, you know, took a bad kick and went into that cabbage at the back of 12. I mean, if that hits, you know, a foot less, he's probably just in a little swale behind the green. But Åberg, Homa, Morikawa, it's all nice to see them playing well.
It certainly is. And even for Scottie Scheffler to birdie six of the last 10 holes, because Åberg could have gone out. He could have birdied 14 like Scheffler did. Could have birdied. Well, Åberg didn't birdie 15 as well. Scheffler hit a great shot into 16, made birdie there. Scottie Scheffler, just so impressive. Okay, before we wrap up hour one here, I got to ask you about Tiger. Because, you know, you've covered this guy for a long time. He's had 28 different comebacks. His body he looks like a bodybuilder up close with his upper body. Anyway, makes the cut, which is impressive. Beat so many world-class players, but lost steam. And the conditions were tough, obviously, on the weekend. But in your mind, where does Tiger go from here?
You know, I'm not a big optimist right now. I think Tiger can play. I think he can be competitive. Obviously, he made the cut. At the start of the week, we were saying if he played 72 holes, that was a win. I just don't see him having enough in the tank if he's only going to play three or four times a year to be competitive and win another tournament. You know, he ran out of gas. He admitted that. His back was more sore than his leg from what we could observe and kind of the hints he was dropping in some of the pressers. And I just don't think that he's capable anymore of keeping up with guys like Scottie Scheffler. He's 48 years old. I mean, that in itself is one thing. And I know he's a great physical specimen, but, you know, he may surprise us with a little bit and play a little bit better, but he's playing on a course he knows exceptionally well, and he still really wasn't a factor. But it's still nice to see him. I just don't know how long he'll want to do this and not be competitive. I think if he finds he can't keep up, he may just sort of quietly move to something else.
You wonder if the motivation for him potentially is, you know, when he saw Phil Mickelson become the oldest ever major champion at Kiowa a couple of years ago, maybe that's something that Tiger is keeping in the back of his mind and he wants to, you know, have that mark over his former rival, then friend, now I don't think they speak anymore than Phil Mickelson. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. Coming up in hour two, we'll learn all about President's Cup coming up at Royal Montreal at the end of September. Mark Zucchino is also going to join the show. His take on Nelly Korda, Rory McIlroy's comments from Tuesday, and we'll make our PGA Tour picks for the RBC Heritage because our leaderboard, it's pretty close right now. I know I'm in last, but it's still pretty close. All that and more. Hour two, coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour One of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully, Weeks, Zacchino joining very shortly, coming up in hour two. Full preview of the President's Cup with Executive Director Ryan Hart. We'll make our PGA Tour picks for the RBC Heritage. We'll also get Mark's take on Nelly Korda, Rory McIlroy, and maybe Mark's fitness journey. We'll see if he's been back in the gym as of late, because I know he's been working a lot of hours as of late. But before we do, Bob, I saw your post on social, and I have 100 questions, but I'll only ask one. What happened? You had 13 egg salad sandwiches last year at the Masters. You only had 12 this year. Are you slacking or what?
You know, I started to fall in love with the chicken salad, and it's on brown bread, which is a little healthier than the egg salad, which is on white bread. So I did have 15 sandwiches total for the week. It's just only the 12 in the egg salad. There also might have been some pressure from my car mates, because we had a 2.5 hour drive to from Augusta to Atlanta, and I don't know if they wanted me with a whole bunch of egg salad sandwiches inside of me, you know, being trapped inside there, if you get my drift. Drift being the emphasis word there.
Yeah, well, windows open play on the highway sometimes can lead to some interesting shenanigans. Anyways, I have to tell you, and I'm not sure if you're going to, you might be intrigued by what I'm about to say. On the last day I was there, I was at Augusta National. I had walked the front nine a little, or the first nine a little bit, came back, and I wanted to dabble a little bit. So what I did, I had my second egg salad sandwich, but what I did, I combined it with the classic chicken. So I did both together. Thoughts on that?
That's good. That's pretty good. I'll tell you, Johnson Wagner, who is now working, you know, former tour player, and it works for Golf Channel. He was in the next booth. He's good friends with Graeme Dillette, and we were chatting one day, and there's sort of a hallway, as you know, that connects all these sets where we are. He told me the greatest one is to take the chicken sandwich, which is like a kind of like a fried chicken cutlet, and put it on the pimento cheese sandwich. Now, I didn't get to try that, but Graeme Dillette did. And he swore by it. So there are some concoctions out there. The best part about this is the egg salad and I believe the chicken salad are $1.50. Now, we don't have to pay anything because we're freeloading media people. But really, you can get a beer, bag of chips, and an egg salad sandwich and get get change from your $10 bill.
It's such a magical place, and I know many people have asked me about my first experience walking around Augusta National. On our YouTube channel right now, there's a full 20-minute breakdown, Mark and I talking about my experience walking around Augusta National, which was something that I'll never forget. And, you know, Bob, before we go to this interview, I legitimately had sore shins for almost 3 days. And I'd like to think I'm fairly fit. I'd like to think I don't skip leg day, but I just walked it. I took my time walking. I sort of went across a couple of different fairways. Like, it took me 3 hours to walk the whole thing as I was taking in this magical place that is Augusta National. But I mean, have I gone soft here? Like 3 days of sore shins after
no.
Walking Augusta National? Because it's very undulating. It's very hilly.
Yeah, that's when someone tells me they're going for the first time, as I did this with you, I said, I want you to think of your first big reaction when you get there. And it's usually maybe about how the conditioning is, but most people will say, I had no idea how hilly it was. Like the 10th hole, if that was a ski run, it would be a black diamond, you know, and that's the kind of hills you're going up and down. And the people, there's a lot of people who love Augusta National. The ones who hate it are the caddies, because it's the real leg buster of the year. And yeah, it's the same way. I mean, I train and run and do all these marathons and things, and I'm gassed by the time I get from 18T to 18 green.
That's right. I just have no idea how Tiger's still doing this with 100 different surgeries and bionic ankle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, a magical experience that is the Masters. Well, another great thing that's going on later this year is the President's Cup at Royal Montreal. And recently, Bob, you had a chance to catch up with Executive Director Ryan Hart. Let's hear your interview with Ryan Hart about the President's Cup.
And here's the executive director of the 2024 President's Cup. It's Ryan Hart. And Ryan, good to see you again, as always. And a big moment, I guess. We've got ticket sales. We've had lots of sales before, but this is sort of the general ticket sales now. Everything's available, and the announcement came out on Tuesday. Tell us a little bit about what this means for you and what this means for the people who want to come and see this great event.
First and foremost, thanks for having us, Bob. And we are exceptionally excited. We're less than 170 days from the 2024 President's Cup. And I think this moment of getting our GA tickets on sale is really that next big step for us. And the support since we've been in Canada has really been tremendous. And, you know, we have every belief that we'll see the same support through GA ticket sales in the coming week.
Okay, so give us an idea of where people can buy these and what does this mean? Are they difference between Monday or can you go on Monday? I don't know. Give us a sort of the breakdown of what happens with these GA tickets now.
No, absolutely. You can go, everything can be done at presidentscup.com. We've got the tickets on the homepage, trying to make it as easy for people as possible. You can get everything from Monday is closed to the general public. But Tuesday through Sunday, tickets starting at $50 all the way up to $200 for some of the competition days. So we try to have sort of a cross section of pricing depending on what people's price point is. And then there are also offers for if you're GA tickets, and then you've got sort of that step up to a captain's club, which is that sort of sports bar environment on property. And then that first step into an all-inclusive product in our international club. So there's really a variety there for people. And like I said, we've got 2 days of practice rounds and then the competition starts Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, people got to remember that this is unlike the Ryder Cup. This has 4 days of competition, not just the 3 days. So it's a great opportunity to go and see. And I mean, it's shaping up. The two teams are starting to look like they're moving into place. I mean, obviously, some changes can happen, but I guess that also sort of whets the appetite of a lot of people, right? They can see, well, I think Nick Taylor's going to make it, or this guy's going to make it. I guess that also helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of buzz. I mean, obviously, Nick's success in the last 12 months and, you know, most recently, obviously, in Phoenix has really had a lot of buzz for him. And people, I think everywhere we go, people, the first question we get asked is, how many Canadians are going to be on the team? And, you know, I quickly respond with, that's not my decision, thankfully. But obviously, Captain Mike Weir's got some challenge in front of him. He's got a bunch of amazing players, but obviously a country behind him that would love to see as many Canadians as possible. But the guys are playing well right now, so I think there will be a good contingent. We're just not sure on that final number.
Yeah, I gave Mike the opportunity to comment on an over under at 2.5. And before he could say anything, Jim Furyk said, yeah, it's going to be over. There's going to be at least three Canadians on that team. But we'll see when the decisions get made. And I'm sure those ones where you have to tell people that they're not going to be on the team must be, those calls must be pretty painful to make. But that's why you're in the captain's chair. Let's move on a little bit. What are we going to see on site? If you walk out there and as a spectator, obviously you're going to see golf, you're going to see grandstands, but what are you going to see there?
I think the couple of big things that would be different from those who were there in 2007. I mean, as you well know, Bob, this event's grown to be our largest global event since 2007 when it was last in Canada. And I think one of the biggest differences is back then we really built everything, a lot of it anyway, on the member driving range. And then there was, you know, a few ancillary hospitality structures on, I think, three, maybe four holes. And now when people walk on the golf course this year, they're going to see 13 of 18 holes built out. They'll see a little north of 600,000 square feet of floor space built across the property. And really with the goal of trying to bring the fans as close to the action as possible, and this would be the first time, and I think to Mike's delight, that this will be designed as a international team home game being played in Canada. So instead of all of our traditional white meshing that you'll see on all the structures, it'll all be black and gold to line up with the home game for the international team. And then I think lastly, I mean, as you well know, being from Montreal, I mean, there's so much culture to take in this market. And so what we've really done is we've carved the golf course into really four quadrants where you'll see four distinct fan areas where we're really trying to celebrate, you know, the food, the flair, the culture of Montreal and Canada at this year's event. So we're excited. We're still talking to a lot of people, getting more ideas, working with some local chefs and some local restaurateurs, and, you know, really excited to be able to present this in the fall.
One thing that Mike Weir mentioned to me too was he said back in 2007 there was a good turnout of people, but they were mostly sort of just golf fans, and he wants them to be international team fans and sort of cheer as we've seen that. That's a big part of this, and I think it's has grown, especially when you go and play the in the international markets. But it is a big part of this, isn't it? You're going to cheer for your side.
Yeah, I think there's that. And I think the other thing that Mike's really said since he was named captain is we want to bring the hockey rink to the golf course. When you think about being here in Montreal or, where you are in Toronto or anywhere in Canada, when you go to your hockey rink, your NHL team rink, it is loud. It is, the pride is exploding through the glass to the players. And that's what, Mike's vision is for the first tee and throughout the golf course. So, we've been really fortunate to have a great relationship with the Montreal Canadiens and, working with their team, their in-game production and learning what they do to get people fired up. So when you get to the first tee, we've got a team that is specifically working on the first tee to get people hyped up an hour and a half leading into the matches. It'll be loud. There'll be, music playing, a good, vibrant environment. And then once the balls are hit, it's game time. And I think, we go back to, I think, when, what was it? The 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. And it stands out in my head when at the time Prime Minister Harper had to stand up in the House of Commons and give Canada permission to cheer. And we're known as such a polite country, but I think when it comes to hockey, we kind of throw that out the door a little bit, and we hope that we can get a round two of that at the President's Cup this fall.
That sounds good. Just before we go, what's the next job or next check mark on your list that's going to come around? As you said, 170 days. It doesn't seem like very much.
I would say this getting rid of the snow would probably be the next check mark on our list. The biggest priority we have in front of us. We started building October 3rd last year to get ahead of the snow. We took a pause mid-December, and the hope is to get back building on the golf course here in the next 3 weeks. So that is really the next big checkbox for us is to get back on property and building. And then I'd say, there's a handful of hospitality products out there that are still available. So trying to button those up and make sure that we're working on the best experience we can for those that can make it out.
All right. Well, you're going to be a busy man, I know, for the next little while. So we'll check in with you when we can. And thank you for some time today.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for the support.
So excited for the President's Cup coming up. It's going to be so much fun. Okay. When we come back here on GTC, Mark Sacchino is going to join us to discuss Nelly Korda's brilliance, Rory McIlroy, and maybe a little update on how the Z-Man's fitness journey is going. Maybe we'll discuss that. Also, I know Mark played golf outside on Monday, the Toronto Hunt Club Open, so we'll get a little recap on how his round went too. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC Scully Weeks, and now joining us for the rest of the show, Mr. Mark Sacchino. Mark, is this day 700 in a row of you working straight or what?
Yeah, well, yes, but thank you guys for covering me this morning and doing it as just a two-man operation as opposed to a three. I had a follow-up doctor's appointment, as you gentlemen know. And things are good there, so that looks
Good, good.
okay, except for, I'm going to be 50 in a year, and other than you've got a fatty liver. Well, you know what? Pass me a bottle of Brunello and let's talk about it, okay? Like, give me a break, you got it. Who doesn't have a fatty liver? Especially a European at 50. Well, Bob's raising his hand. But Bob, I mean, if, I've now listen, I'm not going to suggest anything here. Like, maybe I could drive beside you in the next marathon and just like give you words of encouragement.
I'd watch that.
But I will say this, on my fitness journey, the weightlifting has, and those types of things have not gone so well. That has fallen off, but I have kept up my cardio. I have been staying on my cardio journey. So I'm hopeful that once things calm down, like in 7-8 years, that I'll be able to, you know, just get back. But listen, the cardio's good. The weight's good. The health's pretty good by the sounds of it. So all good, guys. All good.
Okay. Well, that's great. And Bob, before we get to Nelly Korda here, Mark and I were discussing this live on the air, of course. Are you training? Is there a marathon for you coming up here at some point soon? We knew it. We couldn't remember.
I'm running a half on May 5th, the Toronto half marathon, and goes right down Yonge Street. So I'm in kind of the final stretches of my training, and this is kind of, it's really hard right now, and then in a week it'll start to taper down a little bit, make it a little easier. But
see, Adam, I knew Bob was getting ready for something. We chatted a little bit about this. I think it was in Kapalua. And I said, I know he's getting ready for something. And Bob, I was telling Adam this on the air, and of course I've completely slaughtered it, but you can tell us again. Last year, you had your best time ever in a marathon, correct?
In a half marathon. I ran a 1:43 in the Hamilton marathon, which was in November. So that was kind of, now it's a perfect course. It was a perfect day, great weather. Flat golf course, and everything kind of came together. That doesn't happen very often, because like a couple of years ago, I ran the New York Marathon, and the last quarter of it, I was basically walking. So
well,
you never know.
I don't care. Bob just celebrated a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday again, Bob. And I am not putting up new record long drives as I get older, and some of us are putting up new record times half marathons. So I got to give Bob's his props and his flowers. That is so cool. That's awesome.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
I think May 5th, the half, Mark will get us on a golf cart. We'll be riding along there. We'll have a glass of red, maybe a Brunello, the fedora on, as Bob's just huffing away. Maybe we'll be like on the side, like the side cart, just chucking them like the protein powder or the like protein juice, whatever you squeeze out of the thing, Bob. I'm not sure if you do that run, but anyway. all things we should probably discuss off the air. But anyway, lots going on right now in the world of golf here. Mark, let's start with Nelly Korda, because you know, trying to win 5 straight tournaments is mind-blowing to say out loud for a professional golfer. But if she does do this week, this is one of the great runs we've seen in golf history, period. What do you think?
It's Tiger-esque, isn't it? I mean, that's the only human being in my lifetime that has done anything like what we're suggesting Nelly could do. I mean, it's amazing. And I was looking at some of her numbers. Was it yesterday? It was yesterday afternoon. I was taking a look. She's now, it's hard with the LPGA because, I mean, their website isn't half as good as the PGA Tour website, like digging out numbers and stuff. You've got to be way better with this stuff than I am to get the real stuff you want that you get from ShotLink and things of that nature. But she's second in scoring average. I got to ask you, Bob, that makes no sense. Like, how is she second in scoring average? What am I missing here? It must be like someone who has played only 5 rounds or something that's better than she is my guess.
Yeah, it's hard to tell exactly where the numbers are because there is limited information. But just count on just look at the win column, and that's the only one that's really important.
So first in wins, first in money, first in the CME Globe. Third in greens and regulation, second in scoring average. Again, I'm guessing that is probably losing to people that have played one third or one quarter of the golf than she has. The thing that shocks me, guys, this is the number. This is what reminds me a little bit of Scottie Scheffler in a way. So first, 68th in putting. So it's to Bob's point, when you hit as many greens as they do, and when you're always in contention like they are, and you win as much as she's winning, sometimes the putting numbers are a little skewed. But wow, is that cool. Very impressive for Nelly Korda.
Yeah, it's such a cool run that she's on, first LPGA major of the week. Looking forward to seeing her compete this week. Now, We saw some interesting rumors out there on X on Monday in regards to Rory McIlroy. Oh, man, I wish we were on TV. The eye roll there, Mark, was simply epic.
The Liviots were out, eh? The Liviots?
Right, okay, so let's get into this because, Bob, on Monday, live on radio, because we only talk live on radio now, Mark coined the term Liviot. Thoughts?
It's an idiot who just has to, like, be angry at the world about everything and just preach like Liv is, you know, the leader in the golf landscape, the leader in the sports universe. These are the thousands of people that were tracking down Greg Norman at Augusta, apparently, and shaking his hand and thanking him for everything he's done for the game of golf. These people are Liviots. And I mean, I don't care if you like Liv, great. If you like Liv, wonderful. But what makes you hate everything else, and what makes you lie, and what makes you create this false universe where Liv is something other than a disruptor, an exhibition? I mean, I don't get it, whatever, but it's a Liviot.
That's tremendous. I love that. Anyway, I mean, I knew Adam and I were talking earlier in the show that we knew something was up when you see a rumor being leaked by a newspaper that you've never heard of and nobody else. I was just saying the largest gathering of media, golf media, was just at the Masters, and you're telling me not one person in there would have that rumor? It seems a little odd. So I wasn't surprised when Rory denied it.
You know what makes me laugh, Bob, too, is it says, if you go deeper on the read, it says, and is rumored by numerous media members at Augusta National this week, and they kind of pretended like the rumor was running rampant through the TV compound and media center.
Just a bizarre story, but hey, you know, good for Rory McIlroy getting ahead of it, squashing them for good, saying he'll play the PGA Tour for the rest of his career. Well, as we always do on Wednesdays here on GTC Radio, we're going to make our PGA Tour picks, and that's coming up in our next segment. We know Scottie Scheffler is the betting favorite. Again, surprise, surprise. Scottie Scheffler has arrived on property at the RBC Heritage. So will one of us take Scottie Scheffler? Find out next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Back inside GTC, the whole gang is here together. Scully Weeks and Zucchino. Time to make our PGA Tour picks for this week's RBC Heritage, another signature event on the PGA Tour. And before we make our picks, we have to look at our season-long leaderboard. And boy, oh boy, things have gotten a little close here. Mark currently is leading. Well, now, we all have two wins. I should mention that. We all have two wins. Mark is 317 under par with 9 missed cuts. Bob is 302 under par with 9 missed cuts. I am 300 under par with 10 missed cuts. So what is the same as last year? Well, I'm in last. So that's continuing. Mark, on TV that aired last night, airing again this afternoon, you said something. You were bribing me in a basement or something. I couldn't remember what you said.
I just wanted to talk with Bob. I was saying, we've got a new handle for Schmedium Scully, and it's Basement Scully. Only when it comes to our picks, Bob. Basement Scully.
That's a shot right at him there.
I am just teasing you, Adam, because with great success also comes great risk. And I would say that although you have finished last the last few years to Bob and myself, that you have had the more daring selections than Bob and I. Over generally speaking, Bob's had a long shot or two, I've had a long shot or two, but generally speaking, I would give you kudos and say that you go a little deeper in the weeds looking for value than say Bob and I, as you know, we just kind of look at, hey, who do we actually think's going to win this thing? So there is that, there is that. So,
well, I've done a lot of work with my my management team, my research, my own personal research department to change my strategy heading into these. But yeah, we're pretty close here, and we're heading into we're in a very busy stretch right now in the golf calendar. Signature event this week. Now, Mark, since you are leading, I'm going to give you the honor. Give us your first pick this week.
Okay, well, I hate to do this, guys. I hate to do this because, I mean, at some point, there's going to be a bad week. There's going to be exhaustion. There's going to be life in the way, like a new child coming. Scottie Scheffler's playing this week. And I've got to stick with my theory or my rule. My 2024 rule is if Scottie Scheffler's in the field, you have to have him on your team. Because he might not win every time he goes out. That would be unrealistic. But he is such a superior ball striker to everyone else on the planet. And when his ball striking isn't there, his short game keeps him in it, that he's always going to have a chance to win. And the only way he doesn't have a chance to win, I think, this week is if the phone rings and Meredith says, it's time, get your butt home. And the baby's on the way. Other than that, he's going to show up Thursday. He's going to be tired. He's going to be, you know, looking around going, what am I doing at another golf tournament? But if you show up, he might as well go to himself, okay, well, I'm here anyway. You know, I might as well win. I didn't come here to just walk around, shake hands and kiss babies and play with the cannons on Wednesday morning with their ceremonial tee shot and the plaid jacket. So Scottie Scheffler, gents, if he's in the field, I've got him.
Play with the cannons. Anyway, Scottie Scheffler plus 400 right now on FanDuel. That really hit my funny bone. Bob, give us your first pick.
Well, first I want to say that Scottie Scheffler, if he were to win this week, would have three legs of the Grand Slam wrapped up. That would be the jacket-wearing Grand Slam. He won the Arnold Palmer where you wear the cardigan. He's got the green jacket. He would wear the plaid jacket this week. He just needs to get the Byron Nelson. They have a jacket on there as well. It's a Colonial, but... Yeah. First pick. I did not go because I thought it was too big a risk that he won't finish the tournament. I think he might do a Hunter Mahan and take off. I'm going to go with Carlo Morikawa, who started the season off well with a tie for fifth century and then kind of fell into a funk, which he broke out of last week with a tie for third at the Masters. And part of his game that led to this fine result was his iron play, usually the strength of his game, but up until Augusta, it was a bit weak. But I see that he's hit 46 of 56 fairways, including 13 of 14 on Friday in that windstorm. And he was a perfect 14 for 14 on greens on Saturday. I just think that he has found his again. And on golf, play is so necessary. I think that he's going to come and shine through.
Colin Morikawa right now is on FanDuel. He's 18-1 plus 1800 right now on FanDuel. Colin Morikawa. Okay, my first pick. I'm going Xander Schauffele. Eighth place last week at the Masters. He was fifth in strokes gained approach. Been a top 10 machine throughout the season, too. It's hard to believe this guy hasn't won since the 2022 Scottish Open. He finished fourth at this tournament last year. Xander Schauffele, my first selection. His odds right now on FanDuel, 11-1 or plus 1100. Mark, let's go to you. Give us your second pick.
I'm going Xander as well, guys. I can't believe I'm the only guy without the only guy with Scottie Scheffler, even though everything is potentially hanging over his head. But okay, Xander Schauffele for everything you said, but also just his level of consistency. The only thing he hasn't done is win. You mentioned Adam the eighth place finish. Excuse me, the last time he won the Scottish Open. He's also got eight top tens, and that's only second to Scottie Scheffler. So, yes, he hasn't won, but every time he pegs it up, he seems to be in contention. I mean, large bucket of top tens again last week. And the other reason I'll continue with Xander, too, is, you know, it took me a lot not to put Colin Morikawa on my team this week for every reason Bob outlined. But I don't think Xander got close enough last week to feel... like he let one get away, to feel a little down, to feel exhausted, to feel spent. I feel like Xander maybe left Augusta with something in the tank because he didn't really get into the hunt on Sunday. He just kind of went and played golf and probably would like Sunday back, where Oberg, who's, you know, was brilliant, and Morikawa, who was brilliant, they probably feel like they were right there to the closer to the end anyway, until they got through 11. And I think that takes something out of a player's emotional psyche and tool chest. I think Xander still has a lot in the tool chest, thus Xander. So, Bob, you going Xander as well, or are you going elsewhere?
I'm going with Xander. He's a popular pick. He's second in strokes gained total. He's 12th in greens and reg, which I love. He's 6th in scrambling, which I love. Those are kind of necessary categories. I found this one interesting category. He is first in three-putt avoidance. He only has five three-putts, having played 558 total holes so far. So if you keep that going, this win's got to happen. I mean, it's just got to happen at some point.
And highly regarded as the best player without a major championship, too. Another close call at the Masters. He's someone that we're all looking at, not only this week, but for the rest of the season, too. Xander Schauffele plus 1,100, second shortest odds on FanDuel. My second pick is actually Schauffele's good buddy, and that's Patrick Cantlay, who's played well at this tournament before. Five finishes of T3 or better in just six starts. Hasn't won here, but has played very well. I know this season, only one top 10, bit of a slow start, but he is second in first round scoring average this season on the PGA Tour, looking to lay a couple lollies on that, plus 2,100 to be leading after day one, or 21-1. I like Patrick Cantlay right now on FanDuel. He is also plus 1,800 or 18-1. Mark, give us your third and final selection.
Oh, it's a wee one, Adam. Just a wee third pick. It's Shane Lowry. I just thought Shane kind of had a few bright moments last week, including our shot of the day on our Masters primetime wrap-up final on Sunday, where he holed it out on 14. I think Lowry has done a lot this year. If you look at Shane Lowry's record this year, he's been in contention so many times, just cannot cross the finish line. Leads the PGA Tour on fairways hit. This golf course here at Harbortown, you need to keep it in the fairway. You need to play the golf course in reverse. So much of the PGA Tour is bomb and gouge, right? We hammer it out there 340 yards, 320 yards, hack a wedge, putting contest. Harbortown is about angles. It's very similar in that respect to the stadium course at Sawgrass. It's a little bit more narrow and a claustrophobic version of the stadium course at Sawgrass, where you got to be in the fairway, and often you need to be on the proper side of the fairway. For example, if you're on the right side of the fairway at certain holes, or the left side, depending on hole location, you might not be able to see the flag. That's how much the overhanging moss and angles can get you there. So I like an old school guy who can flight his golf ball, shape his golf ball, and lives in the fairway. That sounds like Shane Lowry to me. He's also had three top tens here in the last 4 years, so it's not like he doesn't like the golf course. I'll go with the Irishman, Shane Lowry, who, Bob, is prepping for an Irish major, playing with Rory McIlroy, the Zurich Classic in New Orleans. Who do you like, Bob?
Well, I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going with a guy. I'm going to take a guy who's got, kind of playing this a little bit by a hunch. He doesn't really have real great in recent form, but Sahith Theegala is strong in some of the assets that you need to play well at Harbortown. He's driving it well at the Masters at 70% of the fairways. He was only tied for 45th, but he's 23rd in greens in regulation on the PGA Tour, which is a good stat to have around this place. And he does have four top tens in 10 starts this year. So he's also tied for 50th or last year. So I'm playing a bit of a hunch that I think he's going to actually come through and play well for me. So I just kind of feel him bubbling under, but it's a long shot for sure. All right, Adam, you got one more for us?
Yeah, I got one more for you, and I'll give you some odds there. Sahith Theegala plus 3,500 right now on FanDuel, 35-1. So some good value there for you, Bob. Okay, my final pick. Mark, we spend way too much time together. I also like Shane Lowry for a lot of the reasons you said, too. And so I won't go through all of them because we just mentioned those. But plus 4,000 to win, 40-1, plus 310 for a top 10 finish. So good value there. And on the topic of the Rory-Lowry pairing in New Orleans, man, if they win, talk about a green light floor it situation on their part. I mean, those guys would have so much fun together. I'm looking forward to watching them next week, Mark.
I know this is going to sound absolutely ludicrous, but I think the Zurich Classic of New Orleans is the best prep decision for the PGA Championship that Rory McIlroy could make. I mean, Rory looks so painful, so uncomfortable, like he's not having a good time. You know what he's like when he's having fun on the golf course and he's got that bounce in his step. That's when he shoots 64 and looks like the best player in the world. Don't you guys think that 4 days in New Orleans, having a blast with Shane Lowry, having fun, maybe they go win that thing. That's what he needs. Bob, am I, you know, like, you think I'm off base there, that it's just not, you know, serious enough? But I think he needs the opposite. I think he needs fun with his buddy and go have fun playing golf.
I think that's what he needs exactly. I think he needs to get something notched out there, get a win. Doesn't matter how it comes, but you're right. Have fun, loosen up a little, don't get, you know, too down on a missed shot or a missed putt or a missed bad break or something like that. And you're right. If he and Shane Lowry could ever win that thing together, I think that would go a long way towards righting his ship.
And as we know, in partner situations on the golf course, you never say sorry. That is the number one rule of thumb. And Mark, when we won the Toronto Hunt member guest last year, you knew I was going to get a mention in there at least once the show. We never said sorry at all. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll have an update on 20 weeks of TaylorMade. And Mark is the first one of us to play outdoors in the GTA in 2024. A full recap of Mark's first round in 2024. All that coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Well, you're going to want to stay tuned to our social media channels next week because some fun things are coming with Adidas. Just a little teaser there. That's all I'm going to say. You'll have to wait and see on social media next week. Well, 20 Weeks of TaylorMade is off and running for Golf Talk Canada. Just check out our link in our bio on X, on Instagram. And this week, how about this prize that we are giving away? A QI10 Designer Series driver. The retail value on this is $829.99, and it could be yours. Mark, it's so easy for people to sign up. How do they do it?
Just go to golftalkcanada.com and click those big giant red buttons to see 20 weeks of TaylorMade and register. Once you register, you're in for the entire year. It is that simple.
So we discussed earlier in the show, Bob's clubs are still in the box, but Bob's going to do an official unveiling for the social medias today. Mark, you've taken your QI10 out. Did you play with it on Monday?
Yeah, so I have got some real confusing things going on. So I played 2 9 holes. I played 9 holes on Monday, and I played 9 holes yesterday. And wow. I shot 1 over on Monday and 1 under on Tuesday. Now, I've got a new putter that I love. I've got the new counterbalanced oversized Spider Tour S. So this is a model, this is an updated version 10 years later of the putter that Brian Harman uses and the one he used to win the Open Championship. I also got a putting tip from James Hahn the last time I worked PGA Tour Live. And the putting tip is working. And I'm scared to say it out loud, so I won't. Because if you say it out loud, it's the equivalent of taking a sticker off a golf club, like a price tag. Once you've bought it, if you take the sticker off, it loses all its superpowers. So you must always leave the sticker on if you purchase a golf club. That's something I learned as a young man once as well. So there's that. So there's that. Now, here's the confusing part, guys. You guys always know I am full fade, like weight in the toe, dialed down as low as it can in the loft with everything I've got. And I've got that with my LS driver, and I love it, and it works great. I've got it dialed down to like 7 degrees and everything in the toe and status quo. But with the fairway metals, I have had to dial up the loft for the first time ever, and I don't know what's going on. And they're going great, and they're working great, but I've basically turned my 3-wood that I used to play like a 2-wood, and I've turned it up the opposite way into a 4-wood, and I've taken my 5-wood that I used to dial down to a 4-wood, and have dialed it up the other way, and it's like a 6-wood. So I'm carrying like 4-wood, 6-wood, and when you look down on them now, I don't know what they've done. We've got to get Nick on, or we've got to get somebody on from TaylorMade. But back with the older woods, when you used to dial up the loft, it closed the face, right, as well. Well, you look down on these new woods and you turn up the loft, the face still looks square. It doesn't look shut. So I'm so confused. I have no idea what's going on. I would love to speak to somebody at our friends at TaylorMade about this. So right now we're going 7-degree driver, 4-wood, 6-wood currently is the setup. Hybrids like in and out. I take the 6-wood out, hybrid in, back and forth. I can't land on that.
I kind of wish I was writing that down because we have lofting up, lofting down, doing this, doing that, going back and forth. Well, you know, I can't wait to hear more about this. And Mark, about that putting tip, you have both of our phone numbers.
We've got to play, guys. Okay, listen, when I'm back from, okay, I'm going to the Dominican Republic next week. We're running a Portugal travel special that Adam's put together, which is fantastic. Adam's off with a team Adidas to Pinehurst, which
you're
going to
keep
wait.
That a teaser.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. And then Bob and I are off to the PGA Championship. And I can't believe, Bob, the cost of the flight. I was looking at our flights yesterday. My God, where are we flying to? Dubai? I can't believe the cost. I didn't know the PGA Championship was in Royal Melbourne this year. It's crazy. Anyway, when we get back from the PGA, guys, we need to put golf on the calendar.
I think it's a great idea. And unfortunately, we're running late, as sometimes we do on this show every segment. But anyway, it's been a fun one. Looking forward to seeing you both in person. Lots going on here for Team GTC, 20 weeks of TaylorMade, your chance to win a QI10 Designer Series driver. That wraps up our first leg of our triple header. We are back TSN 4 and 5, 2 p.m., TSN 2 at 5 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network.